When the news came down in mid-March, Tamir Forrest was thinking what a lot of high school seniors were probably thinking.
You know, they said school was done for the first 2 weeks. You know, I was ecstatic. I was happy. I was ready to not do anything for the next 2 weeks and just relax.
But then he started learning more about the pandemic. And soon, those 2 weeks without in-person classes became the rest of the year.
But then, you know, as it got worse, and then we really started to see the effects of everything that's happening, I realized that this is not really a fun situation.
As Amal Yunusova learned, quarantining can be a lot of isolation.
It's difficult to be stuck inside 24 hours. I spend a lot of time in my room.
And then came the realization that the last day of real live high school had come and gone without warning. No more meetups at your locker, no more jokes around the lunch table, no final hug in the hallway.
Kind of feels like we didn't say goodbye on like good terms, you know?
That's Jorge Padilla.
It just doesn't feel right. It feels incomplete.
A big part of what's missing are the canceled rituals. No prom for Ashley Acevedo and her friends.
The week before this all happened, I actually bought my prom dress. I might wear it to like McDonald's or something. I don't know.
And no big graduation in a packed auditorium for Nathaniel Asia.
I mean, all through high school, we've been waiting for these moments where we're going to be able to walk across the stage, get our diploma. And now that it's like not here, it's kind of like, well, what do we do?
This is Schooled. I'm Kevin McCrory, and in this episode, we're telling the stories of students coming of age in a moment where the world feels both on hold and on fire. The class of 2020 is bound for the history books. They were born in the wake of 9/11, entered kindergarten during the Great Recession, had their senior years interrupted by a global pandemic, and have now graduated into an uncertain future amid mass COVID-19 death, record unemployment, and civic upheaval in the streets. It's a burden that's been acknowledged by everyone from LeBron James.
There is no doubt in my mind that the class of 2020 is going to be something really special. After all this, you guys are prepared for anything.
To Chief Justice John Roberts.
Your class is probably one of a handful of the most challenged high school graduating classes since the class of 1942, whose members went from graduation to war.
For Ashley Acevedo and her family, just getting to this moment was a major challenge in and of itself.
Their lives were very different from mine, and I'm very grateful that for everything that they've done so that I could have it a little easier.
Ashley lives with her parents in a working-class neighborhood in Philadelphia. Her father, Johnny, grew up poor in Colombia.
I didn't have the internet. I didn't have even no cars, even a bicycle.
Her mother, Elena, has a similar background.
Ooh, my life was very hard. I grew up in Dominican Republic, so my parents didn't have money.
It's a story Ashley knows by heart.
They would have to work at a really early age just to like provide for their family and make sure that all their siblings can eat and everything.
Both of her parents finished high school, but then felt stifled by the lack of options. Johnny grew up working on his family's small coffee farm. Long, hot days in the sun halfway up a mountain. A 45-minute walk from town.
At that time, I couldn't go to the college because I couldn't afford go to the college over there. It's what it is. Work whatever we're doing to make a living, that's it.
Johnny had some family in America already, and they convinced him he should risk crossing the U.S. southern border in search of a better life. He was in his early 20s when they helped arrange for him to make the dangerous trek through Central America and Mexico into the States.
It's something that you don't want to do again. I mean, you do one time, and that's it. You don't want to do again.
Elena came to the U.S. around the same time, and they both ended up in North Bergen, New Jersey, across from Manhattan, working grueling factory jobs. They met in night school, learning English, and thought about trying to pursue higher education.
I tried to go there, but it's too hard to learn the culture, the new language. It was very hard for me.
They married and wanted to start a family, but were determined not to raise a child in the same poverty they experienced. Over more than a decade, they worked hard, saved money, bought a house in Philadelphia, and became U.S. citizens, all before having Ashley in their mid-30s.
When I come to this country, we start from zero, and we work very hard. After she born, we keep working so hard.
They very purposefully had only one child, wanting to pour all their energy into giving their daughter the best possible chance to succeed in America.
Because to have more is very hard. It's better to have one and spend time with her to teach her a lot of, you know, a lot of good things.
Ashley became their life. After she was born, Elena stopped working outside the home to care for her daughter full-time. Johnny poured himself into work, for a while at a grocery store, now as a cell phone accessory salesman. Anything to be able to afford to give Ashley a better shot. Music lessons, Catholic school tuition.
I mean, we had to work more. We had to limit it about the time to spend on family. That way we can work more to pay for tuition.
Their work ethic is insane. They just, no matter how tired they are, they just keep working and they have goals set for themselves. And so seeing that growing up, just seeing how hardworking they are, it just makes me want to work hard and follow in their footsteps. I do get overwhelmed sometimes, but at the end of the day, I know the reason why I'm doing it, and it's for them. And so I feel like it's more of a motivation than pressure.
The rules of the Acevedo house are strict. When her peers were out having fun, Ashley was studying, practicing instruments.
Compared to like your other friends, what were some things that you weren't allowed to do?
Like go to the movies?
Yeah, go to the movies was one of them. Like I could go to the movies, but not by myself. Like I had to have a chaperone with me. I couldn't go to parties. I mean, I went to parties, but just not as often, I guess, as I wanted to. Looking back, it might be a good thing.
We tried to protect her. Maybe we protect too much, but that's what we did.
The formula seems to have more than worked. Ashley became a star student who earned a scholarship to the University of Pennsylvania. She's also a gifted musician and vocalist. She sang at the Philly-based 2016 Democratic National Convention and was just as comfortable with an out-of-the-blue ask from me during a Zoom interview.
Not to put you on the spot, but do you have an instrument in your room right now that you could play a song on?
Just want you close so we can stay forever and you can be sure.
We see the results of what we did. And she make us very, very proud of her. I mean, I don't have the words to say about her, because she make us feel very good. It's like she paying back what we invest in her.
How does that make you feel, Ashley?
Trying not to cry. I'm good.
Given all that she and the family accomplished, Ashley's graduation was supposed to be a zenith. After all the years of toil and hardship, with Johnny and Elena sacrificing without fanfare, asking for no immediate reward, only doing the quiet, necessary work of the day-to-day, this was supposed to be their public moment, a time for friends and family and neighbors to see, to join together and savor the fruits of their labor, to revel in the fact that, in the end, it all amounted to something.
We thought we were going to have a big celebration. I mean, we have plannings in ahead, like a year ahead.
Have the house full of people sleeping over from like Miami and New York and everything. So it's just going to be a really big party with family that we don't really get to see often because they live so far away.
Everything changed.
COVID-19 robbed them of that outward-facing celebration. And what they were getting instead felt a little too much like just one more sacrifice.
My school, we're having a virtual graduation, so it's kind of like a video, which is all right. But I know that me and my parents are going to celebrate at home, definitely. Maybe take some pictures in my cap and gown.
Ashley Acevedo's parents have a dream for her as an adult. A big house on a safe, quiet block. Swimming pool in the backyard. Bryson Eldridge grew up with all of that. But graduation season wasn't what he expected it to be either. Reporter Miles Bryan has this profile.
For a lot of kids, the pomp and pageantry of the high school graduation ceremony is neutral at best, corny at worst. Not for Bryson Eldridge.
Check, check. How are you feeling?
I'm very excited for today, actually.
When I met Bryson on the lawn of his family home in the Philly suburbs, the 17-year-old was decked out in cap, gown, and more braids and medals than a military officer.
The yellow and the red are Spanish Honor Society. The blue and blue is math honor society.
Bryson is tall, broad, and handsome in a Wheaties box way, with warm brown eyes and straight white teeth. He's so kind and earnest and respectful, like he sprung straight out of a grandparent's fantasy of what a teenager should be like. Bryson says stuff like this.
The fun part about graduation for me wasn't me personally walking across the stage. It was the 252 other people.
Or this.
I saw the bright things of quarantine and just being able to spend time with my family before I go to college.
He really means this stuff, and he was truly stoked for graduation. But Sun Valley High School, like everything else, was shut down in March by the pandemic. So instead of walking across the stage on graduation day, he was standing in his front lawn with his parents, brother, sister, and me, waiting for a school bus one last time. When it pulled into his cul-de-sac around 10 a.m., Sun Valley teachers piled out to present Bryson with his diploma and say their congratulations.
Congratulations!
Thank you very much.
Wow. I did it.
Despite the excitement, after the bus pulled away, Bryson seemed a little down.
I'm happy that I did it. Then it's like sad because it's not the one you envision. It's not the one from the movies that you grew up watching.
High school, and specifically the end of high school, is a pivotal part of lots of classic teen movies.
Well, here we are again.
Yeah, but this time we're seniors.
And we're gonna rule the school.
Bueller. Bueller.
But I have something to tell everybody. I've glimpsed our future, and all I can say is, go back.
And when Bryson describes his life and time in his school, it sounds a lot like a teen movie. I mean, come on. The school's name is Sun Valley High.
We have the people that do sports. We got the people that do theater. There's a couple of people that do theater and sports, but it's like one person. You got the people that do choir, people that do band.
Desperate wannabes. Burnouts. Sexually active band geeks.
Bryson, like any good teen movie protagonist, started as an outsider, a timid kid who transferred into the district in middle school. His rise began as a freshman with a race for class vice president. He told me about it over Zoom the first time we talked.
I was going against somebody that's been in the school district for 8 years at that point. Her campaign was, I'm just going to campaign to my friends. And she had a friend group of 50 people, so I was like, oh, this might be difficult.
To win that race, Bryson pursued a very not teen movie campaign strategy. Be really, really nice.
You be nice to people so they're nice to you back. And I just found out friends like that. And then I joined more clubs. Like, I'm in chess club. Either way, I don't really play chess like that.
So you were kind of like, I'm a man of the people.
Exactly. And I talked to all the people that weren't popular, per se, and just went that way. And I ended up winning. And now I'm the class president.
Bryson's niceness, his appeal to the silent, uncool majority, was a winning strategy. Besides being class president this year, he was also the homecoming king. These last few months were supposed to be Bryson's nostalgic end of high school montage that faded into one last summer before starting college. Instead, he recorded his portion of graduation in an empty auditorium to be broadcast online. And his parents won't let him go to senior week at the beach because of coronavirus, so he's been sitting at home, alone.
I've been doing puzzles, coloring, FaceTiming people. Catching up on Netflix, catching up on some sleep. I feel like I've caught up on all my sleep for the past 18 years.
Puzzles?
Yeah, puzzles.
So that's how it seemed like this story would end. A teen movie main character denied his triumphant finale. An example of another moment the pandemic has taken away. Then, on Memorial Day, George Floyd was killed by a police officer in Minneapolis. And the whole world changed.
And like reading like how some of the black people were killed, it's just like going to the store, jogging, running. Not saying like that could be me, but like with like the town I live in, but like that could happen.
More from Miles and Bryson after this short break. You're listening to Schooled.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
Welcome back to this Schooled special episode on the class of 2020, where we're meeting students graduating into this very uncertain moment where global pandemic meets civil unrest. Reporter Miles Bryan picks up the story of Bryson Eldridge, a college-bound kid from the Philly suburbs.
Bryson Eldridge is black. His town and his school district are mostly white. I called Bryson a few days after the George Floyd protests first hit Philly to check in. He looked worn out. He says his family is no stranger to discrimination at the hands of police.
3 years ago, we were driving to my brother's basketball game, and the cop followed us for 6.8 miles. And we were getting off Route 1, and then he pulled us over. And he said that we were being reckless driving, so he pulled us over. And then said, like, basically that, not that he smelled something in the car, but that we were acting suspicious because we were all really nervous. My dad, he was just like, don't do anything, just sit still, follow with the orders. But first time I've ever seen my dad cry.
Bryson's dad, Gregory, grew up middle class in a mostly black suburb nearby. As a kid, he watched new parks and pools get built in the white community that bordered his, while weeds sprouted in the tennis courts near his house. He says he's happy Bryson's experience has been better, but he always knew there was nowhere they could move to escape systemic racism.
From the day he was born, I have to teach him what it's like to be a black man in this world. So ironically, it's nothing new.
The father of a kid who graduated a few years before Bryson at Sun Valley High was just caught on tape yelling the N-word at protesters while his kid waved an American flag in the passenger seat. The school board president of Bryson's school district also recently apologized for sharing racist memes on Facebook. Bryson's even-keeled nature, the punctuality and patience that makes him every teacher's favorite, his niceness, it's at least in part a coping mechanism to deal with being a black person in a white space.
I can count on my hands and toes how many like minorities are in my grade. Going to a predominantly white school, it was just like I need to make sure I'm doing the right thing all the time. I feel like that's part of my like maturity and like growing up so much faster than the other people in my grade.
Bryson thinks about how he stands out all the time. He can't afford not to. He says what's changing is that many of the white people in his life are starting to think about it too.
So the other day, I was driving, me and my girlfriend were in the car, and a cop had came behind me.
I was pretty calm. I knew we didn't do anything wrong.
That's Bryson's girlfriend, Grace. She's white. This was the end of May. Bryson says the cop followed them down side streets for about 5 minutes before peeling off.
I had to explain to her like why I was so nervous. Like I was driving extremely like careful, speed limit and everything, and like she could see it like visibly on my face, like that I was nervous.
We just kept doing what we were doing and kept driving along, and then eventually it was fine.
I dropped her off. We really never touched on the subject. But then when, after everything started happening, like closer to here, she was like, I'm starting to understand. And like, she just like was very apologetic, like why she didn't realize I was nervous. I could tell that like, she wants to learn why.
You know, being in an interracial relationship right now, I feel really bad that, you know, he has to go through some things and people are treating people like him really badly.
Bryson says other white friends are also asking questions about his experience as a black person for the first time. Sometimes those questions are awkward or ignorant or just annoying. But Bryson says he's happy that those friends finally want to understand. In the movies, high school stories are often about a main character breaking free of the box they've been stuck in and reinventing themselves. Graduation did not do that for Bryson, but he's hopeful that the reckoning that's followed the killing of George Floyd could be what does. White people in his life are starting to realize that things are a lot harder for him, that the world is a lot more hostile, that being nice is a survival skill. Bryson's planning to study journalism and communications at the University of Scranton next year.
It's like 70% white, so it could be the same exact thing over again. But I feel like with all the awareness that's going on now, I maybe don't really have to be that middle ground. Like I could just relax for a little bit.
Oh, man.
By mid-afternoon on graduation day, the honking started up again on Bryson's cul-de-sac. It was a surprise drive-by graduation party organized by his parents. Bryson's relatives jumped out to say congrats and give him gifts.
And Lori has a, oh, she got a bag for you.
Hey, thank you so much.
Aww.
Bryson looked genuinely surprised, happy, and relaxed.
Hi, I'm
Joey.
How's it going?
It made for a pretty good last scene.
That was reporter Miles Bryan. The coronavirus didn't just disrupt rituals like graduation and prom. For many students, like Aliyah Harris, it also brought a sudden start to adulthood. Avi Wolfman-Aaron has that story.
The Delaware River starts in the Catskill Mountains of New York and touches Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Maryland, and Delaware before emptying into the Atlantic Ocean. It has 216 tributaries, and one of them is Taconee Creek, a sliver of water that starts just north of Philadelphia and winds its way through 14 miles of city life. For 18-year-old Aliyah Harris, the creek is a refuge.
You hear the birds, and there's deer out there. They be running. You see them running. Stuff. It's just like a movie. Because, like, we live in Philly. We don't have a lot of wildlife.
It takes Aliyah about 10 minutes to walk from the row home she shares with her mom and sister in North Philadelphia down to this little creek. She makes the trip about once a week.
I like water, so like seeing the water and the fishes in there, it's just like, it's peaceful and I can think. I can sit down and just talk to myself or do other things.
What do you talk to yourself about?
Just like, if I like, I'm an overthinker. If I'm upset, I'll be arguing with myself. If I'm like sad, I'll be crying to myself. If I'm happy, I'll be over-expressing my joy.
Yeah, so going to the creek kind of helps with that.
Yeah, especially during this time.
Aliyah had been wrestling with a lot of doubt recently. She told me earlier that month over the phone that she didn't think she would go to college in the fall.
My senior year stopped abruptly. So, like, I still feel a little childish. Like, I really don't feel ready to take that next step.
Coronavirus was the latest disruption in a bumpy journey. Aliyah got kicked out of her first high school after a hallway fight. Her second school was a bad fit. But she'd finally found a home and started to flourish at Paul Robeson High in West Philadelphia. Then, after a year and a half there, it was just over.
I feel like now I'm being pushed into adulthood. Like, they just threw me in there.
But when we talked outside her home at the end of May, just a few weeks after that first phone call, Aliyah's confidence was starting to come back. She joked about her Louis Vuitton-style face mask.
I mean, if we got to wear masks, might as well be fashionable.
And the rowing club she used to
like,
be in.
When I tell people, they be like, row boat. So what's that? And I'm like, row your boat. I have to tell people like that.
And she generally flashed the kind of easy charm and infectious energy that she was known for in school. Like when she told me about how her bosses at her old job didn't respect her.
So that taught me, girl, open up your own business, and that's what I'm going to do.
Aliyah had been working on a business plan for the spa and salon she planned to own someday. And as she started to come to terms with the jarring end of her high school career, something else had changed. She was now planning to go to community college in the fall.
I was talking to my mom, and like she really just opened my eyes to be like, girl, go jump. Take that chance, take that risk, and I'm going to take it.
Hello?
10 days passed before our next conversation. Aliyah and the world around her was in a very different place by then.
I'm all right. I mean, I'm taking it day by day. There's been a lot going on, a lot of energy just going on, and it's just impacting everybody in such different ways.
The civil unrest of early June had impacted Aliyah in a couple of ways. The most tangible was what she saw in her own neighborhood, where looters ransacked three nearby shopping plazas.
I understand we're angry, but everything is destroyed.
For Aliyah, those frustrations mingled with deep anxieties dredged up by George Floyd's killing. She and her mom told me that when Aliyah was just 16, a neighbor called the police and falsely claimed that the family dog had escaped and posed a threat to the neighborhood. Aliyah was alone, in her house, asleep, when she says several police officers barged into her room.
They came right in my room. They ripped the covers off me. They told me, get up. I didn't have my glasses on. They shining light in my face.
The memory stung, and it reinforced what Aliyah already thought about how police treat black people.
I don't like to accuse, but sometimes they come off, they be nitpicking. I feel like, honestly, they got that badge, and they just feel entitled to mess with you, entitled to do things with you because they can.
Aliyah was wrestling with a lot of thoughts. The destruction in her neighborhood, the message of the protests, and all the while, she was starting to fixate again on her fears of adulthood.
I don't know how to pay a bill. I'm going to have to start paying bills when I get a house or something like that. Like, it's just like a lot of stuff that we should have learned that we never learned.
George Floyd's murder wasn't so much a revelation for Aliyah as it was confirmation. Confirmation that the world was as scary and turbulent as she'd already imagined.
We don't know what the future holds for us. For real. We don't know if this is going to get better. We don't know if this is going to get worse. I've been more stressed out this week than ever. Like, I really, like, feel flustered and overwhelmed. And I just want to go back to some stability and some peacefulness.
Good evening, and welcome to Paul Robeson's Class of 2020 virtual graduation.
Aliyah's graduation day itself was unremarkable. Her hair appointment got postponed, which both bummed her out and made it hard to fit her cap over her head. The ceremony was done over Zoom, equal parts awkward and sweet.
Y'all can hear me?
Oh, we can definitely hear you, Aliyah. There's
no one.
Oh, wow.
I want to show my face, so I look a mess for you.
Aliyah watched from her dad's house in South Philadelphia as relatives shuffled in and out and a movie played silently on a nearby television. She was eager for it to end so she could finally make that delayed hair appointment.
This is going to conclude our virtual graduation. All our mics are open if you would like to give a huge shout out to anyone at this time.
Yeah, Kayla!
CJ! 5 days after graduation, Aliyah and I were back at her house. Her future plans remained the same, but she decided that to find her way in the world, she'd have to shut parts of it out.
I feel myself becoming more detached to the outside world. I think I have to become more detached from people because it really be messing with my energy, and I don't like that.
On this particular afternoon, she sat on her front steps, opened a purple spiral notebook, and wrote down everything on her mind, all her thoughts and anxieties. It was a coping technique her mom taught her. When she was done, Aliyah folded the piece of paper and walked down to Tacony Creek. When she got to the edge of the water, she closed her eyes and held the piece of paper to her chest for about a minute. Then she crumpled it in her palm and threw it into the creek.
So I just threw it in there and let the water go with the flow, and it actually helps. Like, it helps a lot.
Afterward, I asked Aliyah if she had any final thoughts about her senior year.
It hasn't been easy. Like, just be honest, it's really been hard. And one thing I can say is, like, for the parents, check on your kids that graduating, because even though it shows that they really probably got it all together, we really don't. Like, some of us don't know what to do next. Some of us are scared.
As Aliyah talked, I couldn't tell if she was talking about herself, her future. The answer was probably on that crumpled piece of paper, floating down the creek to the Delaware River, and eventually out to sea.
That was reporter Avi Wolf-Manero.
Welcome to the 2020 graduation ceremony for Little Flower, Inc. I'm going to let you guys get in there early since you're here, The way it's set up is there's 13 numbers on the floor.
Ashley Acevedo and her family did end up getting more of a graduation than her and her parents staring at a screen together in their house.
Congratulations.
Hello.
Thank you. She's a Rubia now, huh?
The Catholic all-girls school she attended, Little Flower, did a socially distanced ceremony in the gym. But students could only bring parents, no other friends or family.
I'm really excited. You know, I've been waiting 4 years for today. And although it's not in the same circumstances that I thought it would be in freshman year, I'm still really excited that we still get to do something.
Ashley and her classmates wore white caps and gowns with baby blue stoles. Ashley's father, Johnny, thought back to his own high school and graduation in Columbia.
Small buildings, small classrooms. The way they dress is totally different. We don't use it. We couldn't afford to buy all these things.
Inside the gym, the actual ceremony was a breeze. Students in Ashley's cohort lined up in the middle, 6 feet apart, and parents shuffled along the bleachers on the side. Pomp and circumstance played low in the background. Students did not have their names called. They were just handed a diploma at center court and sent on their way.
So you're done?
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah. you know, it was a lot shorter than what was supposed to happen, but it was still a great experience that I still had some kind of ceremony, and it was just great to spend, you know, with my family.
In the fall, Ashley will head to Penn, where she'll focus on Hispanic studies and medicine. In one generation, the family went from poor farmers to the Ivy League. They hoped to find a time to honor that leap in earnest at some point. But it didn't happen that graduation day.
I probably had to work a little bit in the afternoon. Maybe we go eat something before. I'll buy something to eat and then go home and eat it. It's no big celebration.
Before Johnny went into his job, we stood on the front lawn of their modest but tidy brick row house. It's a symbol of how far they've come. A place they secured and cared for as their daughter grew from barefoot in the grass to high heels on graduation day. They're now 20 years into their mortgage, 2 decades into their American dream.
The opportunity that this country gives to us, we can get a house, something that in our country we couldn't make. That's why we are too grateful about this country. We wanted something, just work hard and we can make it.
Soon, pandemic depending, for the first time in her life, Ashley will be leaving this home, starting a life in college away from her family. The pandemic may have stolen from them the chance to bask in the ritual, but it couldn't take an ounce away from the full glory of the family's accomplishment.
I feel very proud of you, baby, because whatever you're getting now, today, is something that you earn all of these years. Working so hard and sacrificing a lot of things.
Without them, I wouldn't be here today. You know, I wouldn't be doing the things that I'm doing today. And I wouldn't be pursuing challenging things if it weren't for them, because they did something really challenging and they persisted. And so if they can do it, I can do it too.
People keep talking, they can say what they like. I don't worry, because everything's gonna be alright. No one.
Schooled is produced by WHYY in Philadelphia. This episode was written by me, Kevin McCrory, along with Avi Wolfman-Arendt and Miles Bryan. I edited it along with John Musoni. Charlie Kyer engineered and mixed the sound. WHYY's vice president of news is Sandra Clark. For more on this episode, including beautiful photographs from Jessica Korkunas and Rachel Wisniewski, visit whyy.org/schooled.